Praise the Lord, my dear brothers and sisters in Christ. We thank Him for another day where we can come together and enjoy the Word of God, enjoy His blessings upon us. We are so grateful, for He has given to all life and breath and all things. And all these things come from Him, not by any man's hands, not by any man's work, but they all come from the One who gives the increase of all things. So let it be known that our Lord from heaven dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is He worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything from man. No. But our Lord wants our hearts. Our Lord wants us to receive from Him. He wants us to receive His tears, His sweat, His spit, His words. And today we will focus on receiving His breath. We thank the Lord for the series, and may it be a blessing to our hearts. Let us pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we just want to appreciate the breath of life You have given us. Without it, Lord, we would not be here today. We wouldn't even be able to speak or be present. So, Lord, we just appreciate the breath of life, but we know that it is not enough. We need a greater breath, Lord. We need You to breathe upon us. So, Heavenly Father, we ask that You breathe upon us always. In the name of Jesus Christ, we believe. Amen. We know that man has been given the breath of life, as we read it in Genesis, where God said He breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and thus man became a living soul. But this same breath of life that God once breathed into man was taken away from man. The same breath of life that God breathed into man was taken away during the flood. And we see that in Genesis chapter 6, verse 17. It says, "Behold, I do bring a flood of waters upon the earth to destroy all flesh that has the breath of life." Oh my. The time came when this breath of life, which God gave to man, no longer pleased him anymore. But this breath became so corrupt and filled with violence. Man was breathing out violence and threatenings and filth and wickedness. And it filled all the earth to the point that God had to step in and stop this breathing. And we know that He destroyed all flesh that had the breath of life, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness. And with Noah, a new age began. And we know that the name of Noah means rest or comfort in Hebrew. His name was prophetic, that it foreshadowed Christ, who alone would give us the rest and the comfort. By entering into the ark of Christ, we can have our rest from all the wrath of God. Man was to be made in the image of God, and man was to give rest on the earth. As it said, after God created man, and on the seventh day, God rested. It was man's purpose to give rest, because God rested in man. That was His dwelling place. He does not dwell in temple made with hands. He dwelt in that which He created. And man was to give that image of God on the earth, to give comfort and rest to all the creatures, to all the earth. But what did man give the earth? Man gave the earth so much pain and curses and judgment. What comfort and rest did the earth receive from man? It received corruption instead of comfort. This earth was filled with violence. Look at what God said in the book of Genesis chapter 6 verse 13. It says, "And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them. And behold, I will destroy them with the earth." Oh my. It says the earth was filled with violence through them. It was because of their breath. They were breathing out corruption and violence. Look at what the breath of man brought us. It brought us a flood. But the breath of our Lord Jesus Christ, the second man, the man from heaven, not of this world, brought us the greatest comfort ever known. The breath of man was bringing out violence, but the breath of the second man brought us comfort. He brought us the flood of his spirit, which was called the Comforter. It gave us rest from all our misery, rest from all our unbelief and sin, rest from all our fears and worries, rest from the chaos that is in the world today. The name of Noah means rest and comfort. And Noah is here again. His name, the attribute of that name, is bringing rest in our hearts. His name is present in our midst again. It could only come from the breath of our Lord Jesus. When Jesus was beaten, spit at, mocked, ridiculed, and crucified, and when he gave up his last breath, when he gave up the ghost, his last breath is the purpose of comfort. His last breath broke the curse of violence. His last breath brought us that which we needed. And we so needed to be comforted. We needed our Noah. He said, "If I don't go, the Comforter cannot come." Those are his words. He needed to go. He needed to breathe his last breath on earth to give us his breath, to give us his comforts. This is the flood of love, of rest that God has sent. Not a flood to destroy us, but a flood to comfort us. For Jesus said himself in the book of Luke chapter 9 verse 56, that the Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. Now look at this story in Luke that we just read. It was John and James who were with Jesus, and they were speaking the message in that city, but no one received them. Just as no one received the message of Noah, nor did they enter into the ark that Noah prepared. And the flood did come and destroy them all. But look at what happened in the days of Jesus when he was not received. John and James were so upset, and they asked Jesus to bring fire to destroy them all and to destroy that city which did not receive them. But Jesus rebuked them and said, "I came not to destroy, but to save." Wow, we are in the age of grace and comfort. As long as we abide in his word, we will experience that comfort. For his word is not grievous. His breath is not heavy. His yoke is light. Every man's breath was heavy. John and James were breathing out violence to destroy the city, which did not receive them. But the breath of Jesus Christ was breathing out grace and salvation. They were all heavy and grieved when Jesus had died. They were breathing out sorrow. It was the time for the breath of sorrow because they had taken away the Lord from them. They went through so much misery and forgetfulness. They forgot the sweet words that Jesus spoke. But they didn't know, they didn't understand his words. As Jesus said, the seed had to be buried and to die to bring forth much fruit. They did not understand the words of comfort, for the Holy Spirit was not yet given. That is what we read in the scripture. How can they understand without his Spirit? Without his breath, there is no understanding. And when death came and took their master away from them, they became so heavy with fear and doubts. They were so sorrowful. But look at what Jesus said when he appeared to them. He said, "Peace be unto you." And when he had said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad when they saw the Lord. In John chapter 20, verse 20 to 22, it says, they were so glad when they saw him. Then Jesus said to them, "Peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you." And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, "Receive the Holy Ghost." Amen. He showed them his hands and his side. Jesus spoke peace unto them. He comforted them from all their sorrow. He gave them rest. And he did so by breathing upon them his breath. It was his divine breath that they received, which made them to remember all the words of comfort. It made them to understand all the words that Jesus spoke. It was his breath which broke the curse of sorrow. His breath broke the curse of violence, of hatred, of words that speak negativity and death. His breath breaks every negative thought and every evil imagination. We are in need to breathe from his breath. That is our true oxygen. The breath of life which we have in us from God was not enough for us. We needed his own breath, his own spirit, to be truly made alive. For he was called the quickening spirit, which gave our own breath meaning and purpose. His breath gave our life the true comfort that our soul was thirsting after. Amen. Look at what Job said when he felt suffocated and he felt that he couldn't breathe anymore from the sorrow that he had. In Job chapter 9, verse 18, it says, "He will not suffer me to take my breath, but filled me with bitterness." Job couldn't even breathe. He was filled with so much bitterness and he was suffocating. He thought it was God who filled him with this. And he thought that God did not allow him to take his own breath. But God wanted more than just us taking our own breath. God desired for us to take his breath, for we cannot truly feel alive without it. Our own breath, which he gave us, was never enough. It was evident that we needed his breath. Job then spoke something that we need to all pay attention to. He said in chapter 17, verse 1, My breath is corrupt. My days are extinct. The graves are ready for me. Look at what Job said here. He said, our breath is corrupt. Our breath brings our days to extinction, and it even makes our graves ready to receive us. That's what our breath does. But his breath, his divine breath, it's the incorruptible breath, which makes our days eternal and makes heaven ready to receive us. Not the grave, but heaven makes ready to receive us by his breath. Amen. Let us praise him for this breath, for he is breathtaking to us. He truly takes our breath away. His works are beyond imagination, so wonderful to behold. And he gives us a greater breath when he takes our breath away, a breath that speaks forth the words of life. Look at what our Lord did to Saul when he gave him life. Saul, who is now Paul, in the book of Acts chapter 9, from verse 1 and 4, we're going to read them. It says in verse 1, and Saul, breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord. Oh my. It records that Saul was breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples. Violence filled his breath. But by the perfect grace of God, the light that was shown upon Saul made him to fall to the earth. And in verse 4, it continues to say, and he fell to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecuteth me? And Paul answered, who are you? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you persecuteth. Jesus told Saul, he told him, why are you persecuting me? And he said his name twice. He said, Saul, Saul. Why did he say it twice? We know that Saul, who became Paul, was from the tribe of Benjamin. And there was another Saul in the Old Testament. It was King Saul, who was also from the tribe of Benjamin. They were both named Saul, from the same tribe. And King Saul also was the one who persecuted David and threatened David's life, wanting to slaughter David. And now we see the same thing in Saul in the book of Acts, persecuting the son of David, persecuting Jesus. And Jesus had to tell him twice, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? For he had to refer to both Sauls, who both persecuted God's anointed. We thank the Lord for the grace upon Saul, who became Paul, who received the gospel of grace. And by his gospel, he said, we will be judged. Amen. A greater flood is upon us. The flood of grace. The flood of grace that will save us. Because his ark has been prepared for us to enter, that will save us from the wrath that is to come. We thank the Lord for the breathing of Paul that was made new. His old breath, which was from Saul, that was breathing out threatenings and violence and slaughter, was no longer that breath anymore, but his breath transformed, and he began to breathe grace and comfort to the hearers. Amen. Let everything that has breath praise him. And may we always remember that our breath is meaningless without his. without his breath. I pray that we always will be caught up together in the air and the breath of his love. We will continue and finish our final part of this series tomorrow by the grace of God. The Lord bless you all, my brothers and sisters. Amen.